And sure enough, eventually it comes my turn to take the leap. And there's a platform there, and I'm starting to walk out toward the platform, and the guy's holding me by the hip. Now, I just want you to, he says, I want you to bring your arms back, stick your chest out, bring your head back, and you're going to drop off like a bird, like an eagle. You're just going to soar. Yeah, that's what I said. I laughed too. I said, like a bird, like an eagle, you're going to soar. And I'm going, yeah, by this time my heart's pounding, right? It's like, I can't even believe that I'm doing this. And my feet are moving. Even though, they're taking little teeny steps. They're not taking big steps. They're taking little teeny steps. And I'm going, what the heck am I doing? And inside myself, I was stepping way beyond my comfort zone. I was feeling very uncomfortable. You know, the discomfort was rising up in me. Because this was something I wasn't used to. And as I'm stepping forward, he says, okay, now just place your feet on the edge. He said, whatever you do, don't look down. I said, okay, no problem. There was no way I was going to look down, right? And I'm standing there, and I'm shaking by this time. I'm shaking, and my heart's pounding. I'm getting hot. I mean, really hot. You know, I'm sweating. I can feel the sweat pouring down my face. I can feel it running down my back, and I'm standing there. I can hear my heart pounding. You know, it's almost like I could feel the blood pounding in my temples, if you've ever had that, where you could feel the boom, 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 boom. My heart's pounding. I'm standing there on the edge. And he's like, okay, just lean forward. And I go, false start, right? He grabs me, he pulls me back. He's like, no. He says, now that's a good way to get hurt. And I'm like, okay, great. He says, no, if you go, you've got to go. He says, you've got to commit yourself fully and go. It's all about commitment. And he looked at me and he said, do you want to do this? Do you want to move forward? Because this is going to stretch you, I promise you. This doesn't just stretch the cord, you know? This is going to stretch you. Do you want to do this thing? And I had to stop for a second and think about it. You know, it's kind of like we all come to those decision points, those choice points. Now, there were choice points in the past where I said, nah, I didn't want to do that thing, you know? And I'm standing there, and I'm at this choice point. And this was going to stretch me. This is going to really stretch me. And he said, do you want to do this thing or not? And at that point, I reached down inside myself. And I pulled up something that I didn't know that I had, a resource. Kind of lit up the warehouse, flipped on the lights. And I said, yeah, I do want to do this thing. And I stepped forward to the edge of the platform, and I put my arms up like this. I stuck my chest out, pulled my head back, looked forward. And that was a really profound moment for me. No, it was. I'm serious. It was a profound moment for me. Because I was forced to reach down inside and pull up something that I didn't know that I had. Now, there's going to be times throughout the course of this training that you're going to be forced to reach down inside and pull up something that you didn't know that you had. We're going to put you in exercises. We're going to put you in situations where you're forced to trust that you have all the resources inside you that you need to succeed. We're going to put you in situations where you're forced to trust your unconscious. But not yet. Well, you may stretch you beyond your comfort zone. And there'll be times where we'll put you into an exercise, for example, where you can't possibly consciously do the exercise. So you're going to have to trust that you have the resources inside. You're going to have to trust your unconscious mind to provide those answers that you need. So you may be challenged in this training, and it's done that way on purpose. And you'll need to trust your unconscious mind. You'll need to trust that you have all the resources you need to succeed inside yourself. And you may need to pull up something that you didn't know that you had. And I just want you to, I want to warn you in advance that all this is done on purpose. Because somebody asked me a long time ago, they said, what are you doing NLP for? And I realized at that point that I could, you know, I thought, well, I could teach NLP or I could transform people. And so I decided to. You know what I mean? And so I decided to. So I'd like to warn you that there will be times that I'm doing all this stuff on purpose, and there will be times everything that happens up here on stage happens for a reason, and everything that you go through throughout the course of this training happens for a reason. I may be, and I need to warn you in advance too, that I have an ulterior motive, and that is your transformation. So I can, because I figured I could teach you a trail of techniques. I could teach you the trail of techniques, or I could transform you. So I will be using hypnotic language to transform you at the unconscious level. And I also have an ulterior motive. I'm interested in transforming you. I'm also interested in transforming and changing the world. For you. And I just wanted to warn you of that in advance. I'd like to share with you a couple of exercises, not exercises, but rather experiments that were done in the early days of quantum physics. And some of these, you may be familiar with some of these studies that were done, and others not. In the early days of quantum physics, see, quantum physics boggled even the minds of the people that created it or came up with the concepts. Boggled the minds of the creators. One of the earliest quantum physics experiments said that it was impossible to at once know the exact location of a photon or an electron and its spin. You couldn't know simultaneously the spin and its exact location you couldn't know that at the same time. In fact, it was Heisenberg's uncertainty principle that said you couldn't know both the exact location of a photon or an electron and its spin simultaneously. And the reason why you couldn't know them both simultaneously was because the very act of observation changed the other in some way. So if you looked at it to find out where it was, that would change either the spin or where it was. So that would change something, and that's Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, so that it's impossible to know with any sense of certainty the exact location of a photon or electron and its spin simultaneously. Now, this upset some people, like Einstein. Einstein was boggled by this. He's like, well, yeah, you must be able to know. There must be some way to determine the exact location. And from Einstein's perspective, he's like, what do you mean that by observing it, it changes it? How could you possibly say that? How could you possibly, and many of the experiments, and we'll get into these a little later, but if you remember any of the old experiments, they said that when they looked for light to behave as a wave, it behaved as a wave. And when they looked for it to behave as a particle, it behaved as a particle. Now this bugged Einstein. Because he's saying, wait a second, are you saying that the very act of observation changes that which you're observing? He said, if that's true, if the observer affects that which is observed, what's it to be said about the universe as observed through the eyes of a mouse? Like, what happens to the universe if a mouse looks at it? And that boggled Einstein. So Heisenberg's uncertainty principle said that you couldn't know the exact location and spin of an electron simultaneously. And then a couple of people challenged this, including Einstein. In fact, in the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen paper, the EPR paper, they attempted to refute that notion. And they said, yes, it is possible to know the location of an electron and its spin simultaneously. And here's the way they said that it was possible. They said that if you took a single source, by the way, they said if you measured it, they found certain things. They found that when they measured it, it seemed to move. Or at least that's what Heisenberg said would happen when we measured it. But Einstein and Podolsky and Rosen said, well, no, there is a way to know the location and know the spin simultaneously. They said if you take a single source and you send out two photons from that single source pulse, you could then measure one. Like if you sent them out at the exact same rate of velocity and so on and so forth, you could then measure one of them to find out the exact location. And by measuring that one, you could then measure the other one and notice what the spin of the other one was, and you could pretty accurately define what the exact location and the spin were simultaneously by measuring two separate ones sent from the same single source pulse. So Einstein, Podolsky, and Rosen said, yes, that would be possible to do. Now that was later challenged, and we'll talk about that in a second. What was most interesting, though, let me finish this experiment. What happened there was Einstein, Podolsky, and Rosen said, yes, it is possible to do that. You can measure one, and then measure the other for the other portion. Like measure the spin of one, measure the exact location of the other. And it would be possible to accurately predict both the spin and the location simultaneously. And there was a big debate that ensued thereafter between Einstein and Niels Bohr. Niels Bohr said, no, it's not possible to do that, because who's to say that if you measure one, it doesn't somehow affect the other? Who's to say that the measurement of measuring one doesn't somehow affect the other? So they found, and there was a big debate that ensued between Einstein and Niels Bohr, and Einstein said, no, that's impossible. It's impossible to measure one and have it affect the other.